May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's a great pleasure to be here this morning. Thank you so much to Bernard for the kind introduction and the invitation. And I look forward to meeting you all after the service. I'm delighted to be here to share a little bit about a remarkable and, to me, very inspirational figure from the 20th century, Mother Maria Skoptsova. Mother Maria was a great many things. She was Russian, a poet, an artist, and a politician. In fact, she was the first female mayor in Russia. She was married with three children and was an emigre to Paris after the Russian Revolution. She was, somewhat surprisingly, a monastic, yet she still remains a chain smoker and a beer drinker to be found in the cafes of Paris. She was a social activist, housing the homeless and feeding the poor. And in the 1930s, she was a resister of the Nazis and a defender of the Jewish people. And it was for this reason that she was tragically murdered at Ravensbrück concentration camp in March 1945, 80 years ago this month. We remember her today as a martyr, as a saint in the Orthodox Church, and a righteous among the nations, and for me, a hero of our faith. Mother Maria was born as Elizaveta Pilenko in 1891 in Riga, now Latvia, but she grew up in Anapa, a town in Russia on the Black Sea. After the death of her father when she was just a teenager, the family moved to St. Petersburg. And here she was immersed in the world of the intelligentsia. She was attending philosophical salons, she was writing and publishing poetry, and befriending people like Alexander Bloch and Anna Akhmatova. She married a political revolutionary named Dmitry Kuzmin Karavayev in 1910. And with Dmitry, she would attend these salons, debating philosophy and literature until the small hours of the morning when eggs would be served and carriages would arrive to take them home at dawn. Elizaveta, as she was then, soon became disillusioned with this world, though. She wrote that these people around her were discussing revolution, but no one was willing to die for it. So soon after, she divorced Dmitry, her first husband, and returned to her hometown of Anapa. She had a relationship with a man then whose identity remains unknown, and she had her first child with him, whom she called Guyana, the earthly one. In Anapa, she became mayor, but she was quickly caught up in the political turmoil around the Russian Revolution. As power oscillated, she found herself on the wrong side. She was a member of the Socialist Revolutionary Party, and her life was threatened on numerous occasions. She was imprisoned, in fact, but she was released through the work of her lawyer, Daniel Skoptsov, whom she then married, becoming Elizaveta Skoptsova. Her story is, in many ways, a list of different names. Russia became too dangerous for the Skoptsov family, so they left, as so many Russians did, moving around Europe until they eventually settled in Paris. And by this time, Elizaveta had three children. Life in Paris was extremely difficult. Russian refugees were very poor and received little support. And to compound these difficulties, tragically, Elizaveta's youngest daughter, Anastasia, died when she was just a child. This was a real turning point for Elizaveta's faith and her vocation. She had already been exploring theology, but after Anastasia's death, her attention turned to the monastic life. She wanted to become, she wrote, a mother to all people. And in 1932, she took that decision, receiving an ecclesiastical divorce from Daniel, and supported by her spiritual father, Father Sergei Bulgakov, she was tonsured as Mother Maria, choosing the name Maria. Her monasticism was characterized, like all monastics, by chastity, poverty, and obedience. But Mother Maria interpreted these in somewhat unconventional ways. She may not have always been found in the chapel at prayer, but in the markets of Paris, collecting waste produce to turn into soup and food for the hungry. And she was very easily recognized in doing this because she had an enormous wheelbarrow that she used to wheel around the streets of Paris in her nun's habit, whilst, of course, chain smoking. She supported her fellow Russian emigres, the elderly, the homeless, and the poor. But then in the 1930s, this took on a particular focus. She was heavily involved in the resistance work against the Nazi occupation of Paris. And with her priest, Father Dmitry Klepanin, she forged baptismal certificates for Jewish people, housed Jewish families in her convent, and most famously, orchestrated a rescue of Jewish children from the Velodrome d'Hiver, a stadium in Paris. She enlisted the help of refuse collectors who were going in and out of the stadium, and they smuggled some children out in their empty bins. When asked what she would do if the Gestapo came looking for Jews in her convent, she said she would show them an icon of the Mother of God and say, "What about this Jew?" It was for this work that she was arrested by the Nazis, deported, and eventually taken to Ravensbrück concentration camp in 1943. For 2 years, she survived in the camp, continuing the work which characterized her monastic life. She was even organizing discussion groups about literature and theology to boost morale of the people around her. She provided spiritual guidance and practical support. She was killed on the 31st of March, 1945, which was Holy Saturday. The war was almost over, and the Red Cross were at the gates. Although it's impossible to prove, it's believed that Mother Maria took someone else's place in the gas chamber that day, which would be entirely in line with who she was. Mother Maria's life was inseparable from her theology, and that's a theology which is rooted in the dual commands to love both God and the neighbor. For Mother Maria, the two parts of this commandment present a singular truth. Love which is only expressed towards God, or equally, love which is only expressed towards the neighbor, is incomplete, she thought. Mother Maria served the poor and the vulnerable because in every human person she saw the image of God. For her, each person is an icon of Christ, a glimmer of the mystery of the Incarnation, something worthy of veneration which is sensed with incense in the liturgy. Yet also in each human person, she writes, is the image of the devil, a clouding of our divine image. So an ascetic struggle must take place, like Jacob wrestling with the angel, to cast away the clouds which dim this image of God in our lives. And that's a task to be done in community, supporting one another, so that in the words of our reading from Philippians, our bodies might be conformed to the body of Christ's glory. In this process, what she calls the mysticism of human communion, a person can encounter God. And this involves taking up one another's crosses, those things which burden us and present obstacles for our flourishing as people made in God's image. Following Christ's example, we're called to actively take upon ourselves the crosses that our neighbors bear. At the crucifixion, Christ's active taking up of his cross was met, though, with a different form of sacrifice from Mary, the mother of God. Mary's heart was metaphorically pierced by a two-edged sword at the death of her son. This was, in many ways, an unchosen form of sacrifice. Mary did not choose this path, and she ultimately had no decision over this decision and how they impacted her. But she felt a deep sense of compassion and co-suffering with Christ. Mother Maria Skoptsova writes very movingly about how Mary's co-suffering with Christ presents us with a model of human encounter, where our hearts too are pierced by the suffering of our neighbours. She wrote, "The human heart should also be pierced by the two-edged swords, the soul-cutting weapons of other people's crosses. Our neighbour's cross should be a sword that pierces our soul. Our soul should co-participate in its neighbour's destiny, co-feel, co-suffer." Mother Maria poses a pretty radical form of communion between people, where we're united in such a way that we suffer with and alongside one another, whilst importantly moving towards a complete transformation in and through the love and power of God, moving towards that joyful vision. It was this theology that motivated her to accompany the vulnerable and the oppressed in Paris. It was her desire to become a mother to all people, which prompted this theology and this action, something that she would later describe as God motherhood. I think this resonates perhaps with the hen who shelters her chicks beneath her wings in our gospel reading. Mother Maria was killed 80 years ago this month, yet her writing remains prescient for our times. I always think it's unwise to make quick or shallow comparisons between history and our present time, but the challenges which Mother Maria faced in her lifetime, such as the fragility of a democratic order, a denial of full human personhood, and the rise of totalitarianisms, are by no means issues assigned to distant memory. Mother Maria's radical understanding of the mysticism of human communion presents us with a heroic alternative to our polarized world. So as we approach the anniversary of her death, may we all be inspired by her example to love both God and the neighbor with our whole hearts. Amen.